Now broadcasting the webcomic beacon.
Hello and welcome to a special impromptu episode of the Webcomic Beacon. This is episode 123, and we're all about... What are we talking about this time? We're talking about comic press, but not so much comic press by the end of the show, but we're talking about hosting, comic creation in general, how far has it come, how you use it with what's available online, how you show yourself, how you publish it, etc., etc. This is an impromptu conversation that started off as in response to Comic Press Premium, but might be going by a different name soon. Essentially, for the WordPress 3.0 build, Comic Press is making a 3.0 premium build that is going to be separate from their normal Comic Press, which I'm told I'm recording this later. So now I know that the old version will still be updated. But what you're about to hear is about an hour and a half ago of me talking with Eric of Exern at EXIERN.com. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Fess. we're going to be talking about Comic Press. I want to get a disclaimer in here.
Okay.
When I started talking on the show, I didn't know it was a show, so if I offend anyone, sorry. I was just sort of talking off the cuff.
Yep.
But so I will stand behind what I say.
Yeah. So what you basically are going to hear is what was already said and already recorded. So it'll start off maybe a little saucy, and then by the time we end, hopefully it's a nice, mild, subtle. I have no idea what I'm talking about. But anyways, so this is episode...
I wish I had a dirty analogy to go with that.
This is episode 123 of the Webcomic Beacon special episode, as in you were not going to get one before, so this is another one for free, as usual, at webcomicbeacon.com. Here's the show. Okay, so all over Twitter, I'm chatting about this and that, and Comic Press... Comic Press is charging $80 for its next build of Comic Press. It's apparently all recoded and everything. But according to the site, it doesn't really say anything that I couldn't get elsewhere for free from other WordPress comic publishing tools like WP Comic, iStrips, or not iStrips, or Webcomic and Inkblot. But... I'm looking at this, and it's like $80. Are you serious? For it says price may vary based on packages or something like that. It says installation and email support are included. Site design is not included. That's a lot of money to just drop on something. And from what its features that it says, I can exactly get that from Webcomic and Inkblot, and probably some others. And that's free. I can install the site myself. I can design a site myself. If you're not throwing in a site design for $80, I'm sorry, that's ridiculous. That really is ridiculous. Let's see if I can get somebody on Skype and have a conversation about that. Hello?
Hey, Fess, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay. I didn't know if this would work or not, but apparently it is.
That's okay. There's been some development on Twitter. Frumpf has come on and says that the old version will still be supported forever, is what he said.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot who told me, but somebody told me that you're like a big supporter of Comic Press. And while I understand that people can like other things that I don't like, and it can work just fine for them. But mm-hmm. I would like to know your story on it.
First of all, I'm not a big supporter of Comic Press. I used it and it worked. So I said, oh, okay, that's nice. Before Comic Press, I was using this really simple... script. What is it called?
iStrip or something like that? It's not
what?
Really iStrip or something?
Yeah, iStrip. I was using iStrip, and iStrip was pretty old and pretty creaky. So I upgraded to Comic Press, and it did more things, and it had the chat at the bottom, had the comments at the bottom, which is what I needed, and it had the ability to put in modules and control where things appeared on the screen, and it was, you know, it was a content management system instead of having to go to home to my Dreamweaver computer, so it was just simpler to use.
So this was like a long time. How long ago was this? When you converted?
When I transferred over to Comic Press, I actually transferred over like last year. I didn't transfer over until really late in the game.
Oh wow!
I started off Knit Princess on Comic Press, and that was about a year ago. And I found that it was easier to use than iStrip. And I said, oh, that's nice. And so I then transferred Xlearn over to Comic Press. And I said, well, that's pretty easy to use as well. Now, there were some downsides in that it completely destroyed the processor on my server. I mean, it is a beast when you get to processing power. So that was a problem.
It's not very efficient coding.
It's not very efficient coding. And so, you know, I would not say I'm a big supporter of it. I use it, and it was better than iStrip. And I am lazy enough that I don't want to transfer over to another system. So that's about where I am. Because every time I transfer over, it's really a pain.
Right.
But
what about editing the site? Didn't you run into like severe problems trying to edit the site without constantly breaking it? Because I gave up on it. I think about when Webcomic came out, because Webcomic and Inkblot, and I had been using it for like a few months already. And every time I tried to make one little change, something would break, and then the whole site couldn't be look. It just looked crappy.
Yeah. I mean, the problem with Comic Press is it is using a style sheet way of working. And so it works using style sheet. It doesn't use any HTML coding. It doesn't use any hard coding. And it's a very different way of designing. And if you try to change anything, it gets really confusing if you're not used to doing this different method of creating things.
Well, all the other ones are style sheet as well. I mean, the WordPress ones anyway. Webcomic and Inkblot are like that. But, of course, they're more separated into, you know, different PHPs, you know, sidebar, header, mm-hmm. and all these things. And you don't. And one of the big things about Comic Press, at least back when I was using it, which might have been 2.2, 2.3, I don't quite remember, but mm-hmm. it was like all the divs. And you couldn't. I could not tell which divs went to which section of the page, and that's how I just ended up breaking everything. The code is just insane.
I've mentioned this, that they really should tell people what all these just different divs are. they don't do that.
No. Like Webcomic, it's, you know, it lists, it gives them names, basically. And I'm still very much an amateur. I always look up W3 mm-hmm. schools for how to do this and that, but I can at least find where things are and figure out how to do some of this stuff. And
Yeah. It is not it's not the easiest system to use. I don't know if someone told you told you I was a big supporter. I'm not in love with it. It was better than iStrip, and at the time I didn't even know about Inkblot. So I've never even tried Inkblot, so I don't know anything about it.
Yeah, I think it came out after you already.
And it was simply an issue of not really knowing anything about it, and it was better than what was. What I was using before, and that's why I think 70, 80 bucks is just insane. That's just crazy.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, we were twitting about that, and Frumped mentioned a couple of things. He says that it's It's basically for people that are designers. He says it's a suggested retail price for site designers. Though, like, on the site it says site design is not included, and and it's like, so, and he says all the features aren't even listed there, so why are you listing an incomplete product that's not even available yet, and you list a price, and you make all these statements? I mean, it's like, I understand coding takes time, and you know, and real site designers do charge, but for a lot of this, I mean, even just basic Comic Press 2.9 looks well enough. It looked when 2.9 came about, it instantly Comic Press sites looked a lot better than the the basic default that looked like just all just kind of disarrayed. But
it's not that hard. 2.9 was an improvement, but and it's a little crazy because this is something targeting people who make web comics, and people who make web comics don't have any money at all. This is not the field where you're going to say, here, have a professional-looking site, because hardly anyone makes money off of webcomics, and the webcomics that are really successful have really awful-looking sites. I mean, look at XKCD. The site is horrible. It's a basic HTML site, so I think they're really missing their mark on this.
Yeah. I mean, I would love to get my hands on the premium just to see how they recoded it and maybe give it a try, but definitely not for that much, especially since I know, I mean, I've designed 4 webcomic sites on my own. Well, okay, Mike, who does webcomic Inkblot, did help me a couple of times, and one site I did convert from Comic Press to Inkblot, and we did find a glitch, and he helped me for a few hours figure out what was wrong with that, because you know, you want to keep all your original posts and comments when you convert like that. Webcomic 3.0 is coming out, and that's going to be a new build, so I probably won't upgrade my existing sites for that, but I might design new sites with the 3.0, but I'll have to relearn it. But
yeah, no, I think with future sites, I'll probably do Inkblot too. And I mean, I can't afford $80 to spend on Comic Press. And like I said, it really was a beast on my processor. So,
I mean, I would totally pay $50 for webcomic and Inkblot, totally. And if Comic Press is like a currency, and its dollar is worth $80, so to speak, I would say webcomic Inkblot's definitely worth $120, $150 compared to that. It's webcomic Inkblot had a lot more features and worked better than Comic Press ever did for me.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's way too high.
But there are some people that really like it, and the ones that have really customized Comic Press sites, they look really good, but I don't know what they did how they edited it, or if they got somebody else to do it, or they just are a little bit more CSS savvy. Yeah. But you know, the basic old Comic Press design was just, it was, I mean, you could tell when a site was Comic Press because nobody really did much with it. But
But I mean, it was a fine design, and for free, that's a great thing. You say, well, I need to start a comic. Okay, I'm going to get Comic Press. I'll put that up, and it gives you a basic design that looks okay, and that can get your comic across for not that much money. And for free, and that was the advantage. And so everyone started using it, and I think the mistake that they've made here is they said, well, now that we're established, we can charge for this. Not realizing the reason everyone used it was because it was free and easy.
The other reason was because it was the first, and it's one that people will know about and hear about, and so they'll go to it first. You know, so it already has... been around for a while, that people kind of, it's kind of like the Kleenex, I guess, of WordPress comic publishings. But it looks like they're gonna rename Comic Press Premium to some other name, so it doesn't get confused with the other Comic Press. So that's not what we're confusing it with. I understand they're two different. They're two different things. One's Premium, one's Comic Press. It's not going to be continued.
Yeah, well, I think that's not going to work either. But yeah, you can look, and there's a number of big name sites that use it. And you can say, well, it's established, but but who knows? 2 million people bought an iPad, so, who knows? Maybe this is a great business move. we will see.
I mean, I'm all for people being able to make money. And even with, webcomics I absolutely hate, I mean, that I don't think they deserve the money at all. And if they're making money, good on them, but I still hate them. And I don't think they deserve it, because I'm an American. I believe in that sort of thing, and unfairness is just, I guess, America's way.
Yep. Yeah, that's a little yet again, we'll have to see how it plays out. I think it seems like a horrible business move, and just a horrible move in general. But
maybe if they had like a better, because it's like he says all the features aren't listed there, the price is subject to change. There's like, why bother put it up? If there's gonna be sorted packages and such, or part of it, he says it's for designers to be able to make some money off of it. People can already charge to design sites. I've could have charged for the sites that I've designed, but I didn't, mostly because I'm still learning, but. I still think, it's worth a little bit of my time, but...
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, it would make much more sense to say Comic Press is free, and we're going to charge for design.
Yeah.
That would make perfect sense. I think the problem they were running into is no one was paying them for design. And no one was doing that. And so they decided, well, we're going to charge up front, but I think that's also a mistake. You sell the platform for free, and then you charge for design. That's the standard model.
That's how video games... Well, aside from Nintendo, that's how people make money on video game consoles. Nintendo actually sells for a profit right away.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah. Yeah, and so... And, I mean, that's what Microsoft does with SharePoint, and that's what, most companies do. They say, here's the hardware, or here's the system, and then we'll charge you for the designing it and making it work for you. And in that case, the complexity of Comic Press is actually an advantage, because it's nearly impossible for anyone else to design it.
If your server can hold that...
Yeah. that's a little shocking. It's a shame, because I'm sort of friends with Frump, so I'm a little surprised he did that, but I don't know.
So he says the old one will be supported through a WordPress updates, which is good. Mm-hmm. The only thing is that, I'm sure you still have to worry whether or not a WordPress update is going to break your site, and then you have to wait for a patch, essentially. Because I know they're prepping the old version for WordPress 3 when it comes out, which that's a part of maintaining your theme or your plugin.
Yeah.
So, I'm not normally one to actually be very as verbal as I've been about this. It takes a lot for me to get like this.
But you believe it's not a very good system, which I'm not going to argue with that. I never thought it was that great. And now they are suddenly charging a ridiculous amount of money for it. And sort of being indignant when people are saying, that's a little bit a ridiculous amount of money. Yeah. And I can totally see why that would get your ire up.
It's different if it's been a very dependable/proven system in the past, and if Webcomic and Inkplex started charging, it's proven very dependable in the past, versus Comic Press is plagued with problems. I mean, you learned after you had Comic Press, you learned to wait a week or two to update WordPress and wait for an update from Comic Press, and then of course during that time you're subject to potential problems, security problems that happen, though that doesn't happen a whole lot with WordPress, for the most part. And then with Webcomic and Inkblock, I mean, there's only been a couple of things in which WordPress updates have screwed with it. And particularly that's in the, if you're going to design a new 2.x webcomic site. Because WordPress changed the default category, which was always uncategorized.
Mm-hmm.
You can't delete that anymore. You used to be able to delete that and rename that. Now it's like a perpetual solid can't change uncategorized or something like that. And that will screw with when you make that comic thing. So basically the fix is don't use that. Don't rename that for blog or comic. Just leave that alone.
Yeah, I actually ran into a lot of problems with that. My site is completely screwed up link-wise because of that. And one of the problems that you run into is, you know, you have all these viral links to your site. If you change it, not only does it not... then all of a sudden you've lost all the links to your site.
Right.
And I ran into the problem where it wasn't working correctly and Frump did a small change, but then it completely made my links crazy. And now I'm sort of stuck because if I change that, I've lost a huge amount of traffic to my site at that point.
What do you use for permalinks? I'm trying to go to your
for site. Permalinks. Frump put in this category system, which I hate. So it puts in the category and the subcategory and all this sort of crazy stuff I really don't like. But I don't want to. I don't want to change my site because if I change it, then I lose readers. I lose hits because I have hits from random sites saying, "Oh, look at this particular page."
What the hell?
So I changed the permalink on that. I'm screwed.
I'm looking at your links and it's like going back. /info/comic/filler on the page.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Yeah. That's a mess. I hate it. I wish I could get rid of that.
I guess you are. I've been kind of stuck unless you somehow make a new build but leave the old site.
Yeah. I could do that, but
I mean
that would also be ugly.
Not really. I'm kind of thinking it could be possible. Essentially, you'd have to perpetually leave the old site up basically make a new directory like xrn.com/2.0. I don't know. It has to be in another directory, and then change all of the old site's links of the home and last comic. That will go to the new. So that's
I've had
a workaround.
To do this before, and it's blood on the floor. I'll tell you, it is a mess.
At least it's not entirely in HTML. That would be.
Yeah.
I mean, I redesigned PSI at least three times, completely, including all the archive pages that were HTML, and that was up to 180 pages, I think, when I was doing. All of those. Eventually, I found Dreamweaver, and you could bulk change HTML things, and then I converted it to Comic Press, and then I converted it to Webcomic and Inkblot, and then I had to convert it to Webcomic and Inkblot 2.0 because I had a 1.x custom build that Mike made for me, but I wanted to have the storylines and the chapter system. So I'm done with changing my original site, even though it's on WordPress now, so it's fairly easy to do that.
I'm in the same boat. I just don't want to change. I might take a look at Inkblot, but I'll wait till 3.0 comes out, and I'll wait till I have some free time to do that. But it's a mess changing systems. That's one of the things I hate about webcomics is changing migrating from one system to another, because I've had to do that three times. I first migrated off of Comic Genesis to straight HTML, and then I generated from migrated from straight HTML to iStrip, and then from iStrip to WordPress, and every time it just kills you. You lose readers, and you and the site gets messed up, and it's a mess. So, yeah, I am not happy with the way the site's working right now, but at the same time, I'm not going to poke it.
Yeah, the only thing I could recommend is making a new directory, and that at least give you a spot to play with. Though you can download a program called WAMP, WAMP, mm-hmm. and it basically will create a virtual server on your computer. The only thing I know you can't have any VoIP on, or at least you can't have Skype running, because it won't fully work for some reason. So, but basically you make a virtual server and then you go through your browser and everything, and that's how I've pre-designed hiddendisguises.com is a website I made into from HTML, basically. So a new WordPress site with webcomic and inkblot. And that's a fairly simple design that I did. And then Between Failures was another one that I worked on. And that was a little bit more complex, because that was the Comic Press site. And so... So there was some wrangling in having to do the conversion. But the designing, I was able to design the site closer into a way that he is actually wanting, as well as I learned a couple of CSS tricks in order to get things in a certain way. A little bit of jerry-rigging with some invisible images to kind of push and move things a bit, because I don't really entirely know all the code. So it works well enough, and I think he changed something recently, which makes it look a little off, so probably has to fix that up a little bit. But I don't know where I was going with this. But oh, yes. So basically, you can spend all this time not online, trial and erroring, and redesigning your site and seeing where things are and adjusting things a bit. And essentially, by that time, when you're working with the WordPress themes, basically, once you upload a new WordPress and a new webcomic inkblot to your directory and everything, essentially, you just need to reset up your inkblot, which is the theme settings, and then go into the editor and then copy-paste your code that you did on your computer into these things. And if you did it all right and you did all the pieces you need, you can have the site live and running in less than a half an hour. I did forget a couple of pages that I needed to go back and change some colors and space things out, etc. Because, I always forget the archive page. But
yeah, well, it's something that I'll have to consider at some point. Yeah. Right now, I don't have the time for it, but that is a little shocking that they're charging that much for it. I don't currently want to deal with sites at all. It's just I just don't have the time for it. But I'll take a look at Inkblot and see how that works.
Have news, questions, comments, or advertising inquiries? Transmit them to webcomicbeacon@gmail.com or dial 1-320-310-0922.
Yeah, and now they're changing the name of it, so it'll be something else. But
well, see, that's kind of stupid too, because you got to be known as Comic Press, and now you're trying to sell something that no one knows. That's not going to help you out at all. You should keep the Comic Press name, even if people get a little upset about it.
Right. Maybe it'll come out with all this stuff going on Twitter and all that. Maybe it'll come out better in the end. And when they have their site going, it'll make more sense and what's being offered. and maybe you look at it as like, okay, yeah, that now that looks like it's worth that much, you know, especially with the recoding. But if it says it's, you know, he said it's mostly so that developers could make some money off of installing and designing the site. Well, anyone can install their own site these days. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
But designing
and yet again, it's webcomic people. I mean, it's just a ridiculous concept to try to sell something to webcomic people. I mean, you're talking about literally the poorest people on the internet. No one makes money from webcomics. A very small amount make money.
I mean, how many of us actually own Photoshop? Legally. Yeah.
Legally, yes. Yeah. Many of us have Photoshop, and very few own it legally.
That reminds me of Christopher Titus has this stand-up called Norman Rockwell is Bleeding, and he was talking about how he and his dad didn't get along a whole lot, and then they had a fight, and then they get along really well. And then he's talking about how they kicked ass at the father-son picnic. Then he says, you know, we didn't win the blue ribbon, but we have it in our possession.
Exactly right.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, a lot of people can get Photoshop and all those other essential tools if you're a student for, I'll say, reasonable price. But I'm not paying $700 for a program like that.
Yeah. And this is not Photoshop that we're talking about at all. This is not an essential tool for putting your comic online, and there's many alternatives out there. And all they're going to do is chase people to the alternatives.
Right. You know, it's like, you know, designing is one thing, but what about the people that might want to use it and design it themselves? What then? I mean, there should be... I would like to see what the... just the program cost would be if they're planning on doing that. Then, if that's a reasonable price, I could totally see people spending $20, maybe $30 on something if the features are rich enough. You know,
I can
understand that.
Yeah, I can see. I mean, I think $15 is a better price. I think you would get more people going, what the hell, I'll pay for that. You know,
for the absolute basic.
In these sorts of things, you really want to set the price at the level where people say, what the heck, that's worth it.
Yeah.
And not have that pain response of, ouch, that's way too much. I have to save up for that. You never want people to say, I have to save up for my webcomic, because they won't.
Yeah. Well, even if you, a webcomicer, you know, if they don't have any friends that would do it for free, let's say, site design, what would a webcomicer pay to have their site designed? I could see $50 being a reasonable site design for nothing spectacular, but at least well designed and functional enough that it doesn't look as basic as possible. Even though I would argue that if you have Comic Press 2.9 design, or a couple of the different, or one or two of the webcomic basic designs that are ready to go, you know, for the most part, those are functional enough on their own, really. But I don't know. It's. I mean, I started out like really like, how can you justify that? I mean, their site is misleading or just not filled out, you know. And I don't mean to be so angered personally by this, but Frumpf and I had some arguments before, and I didn't grow to appreciate it, I guess. But
Frumpf is an interesting character. He has this ability to set you on edge, and he doesn't back down no matter what. You can make an excellent point, you know, and he will never concede a point, so it can be very frustrating talking to him if you want to prove anything.
I think Bengo is much, much worse in that aspect. If you ever had to deal with Bengo.
Bengo? No, I've never talked to Bengo.
Oh, then you're fortunate. We won't go into him for now, but you know, it takes a lot for me to personally not like somebody. It really takes a lot, because I try very hard not to make enemies. I try very hard to be neutral, especially since I'm on the webcomic Beacon, you know? But I might be trying something soon that will require me to express myself a little bit more. I'm not going to say honestly, but more frankly.
Yeah.
Because I'm fairly honest, except I usually not sugarcoating, but I don't say everything.
Yeah. Oh, this is going to be part of webcomics.com. I see. I think there is this push to sort of... There have been people who have now decided that webcomics have matured enough, it's time to pay.
It's time to pay!
And I think because, I mean, webcomics went pay all of a sudden, and I'm just looking at the Twitter feed here, and apparently this is going to be... If you join webcomics.com, you can get it for $40, half price. And I bet there has been some discussions between Brad Geiger and Frump on this, because this is sort of a philosophy that's sort of come up that, all right, the medium's now mature enough. If anyone else wants to get into this field, we're not going to give them free advice anymore. They have to pay for the help.
I can totally understand webcomics.com because they are seasoned. You know, there's a lot of good information out there. However, a lot of information that does end up being on there, you can find elsewhere. Just don't look up web. A lot of basic comic, just print comic techniques will work.
They don't have that good of advice, I'm afraid. A lot of what they say is very archaic and very kind of old school, and not the most relevant stuff. And that's sort of the downside of being seasoned, is they have all this advice that's great for 7 years ago.
Do you know what else is interesting? The Half Pixel crew, essentially. Yeah. I mean, I know Brad Geiger runs webcomics.com, but there's still the Half Pixel crew and everything. Yeah. And it's great of how successful they have become. But I think some, at least some, I'm not going to claim all since I don't subscribe to that, of the information on there is... doesn't fully take account of readers, because they've said they don't really read webcomics themselves.
Yeah.
Which is, I'm sorry, then you're not understanding the reader as well. I am in a position where I read lots of webcomics, and I do a lot with webcomics, and I make my own webcomics.
Yeah.
At least I can speak for myself. I know what does work and what doesn't work, what things piss me off as a reader. And I can also use that and understand that, okay, you know, if I were somebody else, you know, one thing you have to ask, if would you read your own webcomic is a really good question. And I'm thinking about what other comics are like mine. Yeah. I would probably not read my comic because it's so complicated. And I would get lost. So that's something obviously I'm working on. Site design.
Yeah.
What Brad says about, he had said some stuff about site design, and some of it was good, but it got to a point where it was starting to be, okay, now that's a little bit too far. What was it? Yeah. Something, I'm still trying to type up this, I think it's like 8 pages now, of advice on designing a webcomic, website, and it's like, ah.
Yeah, a lot of his web, I mean... This is the argument, and I've had arguments with these guys, and it's one of these things. They have this advice that is very good for making a gag-a-day strip that is based on video game humors that will have a large audience and use merchandise to support the comic.
Mm-hmm.
And that model they know how to use, but they don't know any of the other models out there. And you and I both know there are a ton of different comic models out there and different types of comics. And there's this huge diversity going on out there that they just are not aware of.
Mm-hmm.
So they have good advice, but it's a very narrow sort of advice.
They don't have a lot of good long-form comic advice, I don't think, especially since they don't read comics themselves, webcomics.
Oh, yeah. Their long-form comic advice is completely catastrophically wrong. This is how I've gotten in arguments with them, is just them giving this advice about long form, which is just disastrously bad. You know, like they're saying, well, if you have a dramatic strip, make sure to have something dramatic happen on every page, which is like, that's awful. That's like the corniest soap opera you could ever watch.
Some long-form comics update very infrequently, and they're doing what is called writing for the archives.
Yep.
Which has been accepted, I mean, maybe not by as wide of an audience, but a audience nonetheless.
Yep, writing for the archives, the importance of art to carry through a dramatic story. You know, yet again, their opinion is art is not that important. They say, well, look at XKCD, art is not that important.
I would argue that writing is more important than art, because what's really going to hold somebody through a bad art comic? Either the writing or the characters, which is also writing. Which, okay, it's not really that good, but, you know, I'm kind of interested, you know, maybe the setting or the world, which is also writing, is presented in a way that is interesting enough and you want to follow along. Art is still important, but what can save a bad art comic is the writing, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, but I think with certain storylines and certain types of stories, the more you get into the dramatic story arc, the less you get into making jokes and making gags and being silly and making pop culture references, the more you are dedicated to an actual story being told. The art is important because the art is integral to the story.
A dramatic
storyline uses decompression a lot more, and so the art is so important to it.
Yeah. Certainly the art can do very well in complementing the writing. Because it's an art style that works very well for something cartoony, silly, and funny will not work for a serious dramatic story.
Yeah. But, I mean, for a dramatic story, the art is part of the story. I mean, with a gag strip, you have talking heads. And, you know, the talking heads can be anything you want. It doesn't matter. It's head one and head two making a joke.
ThingsWrongWithMe.com is an exact, you know, evidence of this. All it is talking heads with text next to it. And it's, I'm not even sure if it can be honestly considered a comic. I think technically it is, if you go with the basic Scott McCloud sequential art. Just because the text isn't a part of the image, does that mean any less? I don't know, but I do like it, and I would like to have an episode kind of talking about that in a way. I mean, what was it? Oh, Scott Kurtz was once said at one of the videos. He was saying something about the writing. Basically, that's not a comic. That's a fucking essay. And it's like, you have a good point there, but it's still something that would have an audience to read. Maybe it's not comics proper, but
yes, I saw this. Yeah, I mean, and. Yeah, this is the most rarefied one you can get. But I mean, if you take a look at dinosaur comics, it's the same idea. It's the same picture every day, and it's all writing based. And you can get away with that if there's a punchline at the end of the end of it, and it's about the joke. Mm-hmm. If it's about the joke. Then that makes a lot of sense. If the comic's about subtler things, like emotion, and it's about something that is conveyed on the face of the character or stances or the setting, if you have a more complex storyline, all of a sudden your art has to do more. Because if you have bad art, then you cannot tell the story. You know, it's like, okay, write a funny comic without using the letter E. Well, that's what having bad art in a dramatic comic is. You handicapped yourself. There are certain things you can't do. So I think in the more dramatic, art becomes much more important. You know,
well,
and so
I can see your point. I don't entirely agree, but I would put writing above art. But they're still both very important, still very intricate, especially if you're not doing a gag a day.
Yeah, my point is that the art becomes part of the language.
Like body language.
That you're not just writing in words, you're also writing in pictures in a more dramatic storyline. So you can still argue, well, it's still writing. Because you can't just take beautiful pictures and then say, this is my story, if your story doesn't make any sense and if the pictures don't match up to the story. But the pictures become part of the language. Because they convey emotion, they convey feeling, they convey setting, they convey the world. And if those are things that you need to communicate, then you need pictures.
I guess the best example for that, you'd want to look at pantomime comics, such as... Well, The Intrepid Girlbot by Diana Nock is one. It'll sometimes have words in it, I think, but for the most part, there is no dialogue. I mean, it stars a robot and a raccoon.
Have you seen Chester 3000?
Yeah,
There's no words. There's not a single word of text, but that is an excellently written comic.
Mm-hmm.
And so... Yes, the writing is the key, but you've got to realize that when you're writing a comic, you are also writing art,
right.
And your language is also in the art, and because dramatic comics are more complex in story, you need more complex art. You also need more complex language. It goes hand in hand.
No, that's a very good point. I see here. The other things I wanted to bring up, just because, you know, we've already started kind of talking about it, has been that, success in webcomics. What was I going to say? Oh, the one thing that, especially from the half pixel crowd, they're very much, you know, in comics for professional reason, you know, to sell themselves. But, you know, there are comics that are not out there purposefully. That there are hobby comics, people doing comics for the hobby of it, and they still have, I would say, a decent following. I mean, when I've been actually updating, I get about 200 hits per update, which it makes me happy.
Yeah, no, and I think that the hobbyist instinct is something that is really important. I mean, I would technically call myself a hobbyist. I make good money off of my comic. I make enough money to pay artists a living wage. I don't make enough money to pay myself a living wage, but that's another. I've been asked at cons, do you make a living off of your comic? And I say, no, but other people do.
You're an enabler.
I'm an enabler. But see, the reason that is because I'm not interested in making money. I'm interested in making comics and having fun with this and experimenting. Mm-hmm. And I have intentionally not gone out there and looked for publishers and that sort of thing and looked for ways to make tons of money because I'm just not interested in it. I'm interested in producing the most comics and the best comics I can, but I'm not interested in the professional side of things. And that is a very important thing in the webcomic field, is the hobbyists are very important because the hobbyists are the ones that innovate, and the hobbyists are the ones that find new paths and new ways to do something because they're not obsessed with a particular marketing model.
I also think it's very important that if you're a webcomicer, that you also read webcomics.
Yeah.
And not even just the most popular ones. Because, you know, I mean, or the gateway ones, I should say. The ones that people hear about first, like Penny Arcade. I don't know if we mentioned Bengo before. Bengo, in the past, was... Well, hang on, let me take a... Would you mind if I use this for an actual episode of the podcast?
Sure.
All right,
you're cool. Are you recording this?
I've been recording this.
Oh, okay.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about Bengo.
Machine. it yourself. Nobody's gonna do it for you.
That was DIY by a band called Quinn from MusicAlley.com by Mevio. I learned to record things just in case.
You're a tricky one there.
Well, I ask permission, of course.
Yeah, of course.
Because there's just been some good conversations. It's like, this is good. What should I do with it, you know? This is an instance where it's not really an episode, except we talk about Comic Press. And I do feel bad that, you know, obviously I'm giving Comic Press a very bad rap, and from a very bad rap. And I want to make it clear that if Comic Press works for you, that's absolutely fine, you know? I really didn't like it. I had some conversations with Frumpf that led me to not appreciate him as much as I tried to be very neutral, even when I was very much supporting Webcomic and Inkblot on the show. I accidentally had two shows dedicated to Webcomic and Inkblot. I didn't even realize it. You know, if it works for you, fine. And if this new Comic Press Premium or whatever the name is going to be works out, that's fine. You know, it just, you know, do a better job of trying to market it than having an incomplete page with a really high price without it.
Yeah.
I mean, unless it's a big publicity stunt, I don't know.
This is the second time. I mean, I really am thinking that maybe he went to the Half Pixel crew of Webcomics and saying, I'm thinking of charging for my product. How do I do that? And they said, well, what's worked for us is just to dump it on people and give not a lot of explanation, because they love that. Because that's how webcomics.com went pay. And they have, I've seen in the past how they've defended that move. So
yeah, I mean, it made sense to me. It does take time to maintain that, and that Brad Geiger is deserving of all that.
He has every right to get paid for that site.
And all the partnerships that they're developing, you know, for those that are very professional angled, I mean, webcomics.com membership is a great idea for those with more of a professional angle and are going to be going out to these things where, you know, that discount is really going to help, you know. It does work for a lot of people, and then for a lot of people, it's just not what they need.
Yeah, but I mean, I think no one can argue that the transition was handled very, very poorly.
Yeah.
And I think no one can argue with Comic Press, this transition has been handled very, very poorly.
Yeah.
And I think that there is this philosophy that exists that if I'm going to do something that people won't like, I better just do it fast. And get it over with and not go and not transition into it, because then there'll just be arguments and it will last forever. Mm-hmm. And so there's this sort of philosophy, well, we'll just dump it on people. And I think that's a bad way to go. I think that really underestimates your audience. And I think if there had been a discussion about Comic Press where they came out and said, well, you know, we've put a lot of work into this, and they have put a lot of work into Comic Press, whether you like it or not, this has been a lot of development for them. I think if they had came out and said, well, here's what we're going to do, and put it out there and really had an interaction, I think the response would have been a lot better. And I think the same for webcomics.com. If they had involved the community, I think it would have been a lot better. But there's a strange sense that if things are going badly, don't get the community involved because they will turn on you like vipers, sort of thing. And I don't think that's a good philosophy.
Yeah. But moving away from Comic Press, I will end with saying that. Wait for the premium or whatever to be fully available. See what the features are. See what the bundles are, packages are, and decide for yourself whether or not you think it's worth what they say it's worth. And again, he says that Comic Press 2.x, which is pre 3.0, will be continually supported. He said so. You could stay with what you have and just not upgrade your Comic Press anymore. But well, I guess except for as long as it's not 3.0, I don't know how they're gonna do it. But I just want to. I'm trying to be, unlike Fox, fair and balanced as much as possible, So wait and see and make your decisions. Now I wanted to mention. Okay, Bengo. Bengo is this. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'd say he's crazy. He and his wife have marketing experience or something like that, of which I highly question. But basically, he was all over like the webcomiclist.com forums talking about he was trying to do like this mass survey to try to find out what makes webcomics successful, try to find like all these different factors of success in webcomics. And we were like, you can't do that. First of all, if you do that, you're only taking a percentage of the people who actually took your freaking survey. Two, you're trusting that they were telling the truth. Three, you're also hoping that your questions were worded in a way that are intelligent and didn't leave out any other variable for whatever. Because that, personally, with me, I have a big problem with surveys that ask questions that are not, that don't really have an answer that's available. Or, you know, I don't need to go into that. But he was trying to find this formula, essentially. And then later on, like a couple years later or something, I contacted him and I was asking him if he wanted to be on the show. We could talk about this and that. I said, I can't guarantee we'll agree on stuff, but I think it would be a good, healthy debate, da-da-da. And basically he replies to me, it's like, if people want to listen to my advice, they can come to my site and blah, blah, blah. And basically he started insulting me. He started insulting my audience. And what he was saying is basically saying that, you know, he already knows everything or whatever, and he's appreciated elsewhere. And then I found there's like this article where this blog he posted on his site, and it basically he was stating how like the Half Pixel guys, they're not really successful. They're all lying. And I'm more successful because I'm underappreciated, but I still do really good work. And it's like, what are you fucking talking about? I know you're not making money off of your comic like what you're saying. How does not being successful make you more successful? It depends on what your definition of is.
Yeah, well, that whole successful thing is a very dangerous game. You got to be careful with that because, yeah, I mean, I'm sure in some way he is more successful in Half Pixel than Half Pixel. Perhaps he, you know, is a world champion at skee ball for all we know, and that would make him more successful. But,
you know, I consider myself very successful. I mean, you should have seen me when I first found I had 12 readers. I was so fucking excited. I was like, and when I first hit 100, I was like,
success is meeting your goal, and so whatever your goal is, that is success. I mean, if your goal is to become an independent, is to work for yourself and to make money off of your webcomic as a full-time job, then Half Pixel is some of the most successful people out there. I think in other definitions, you could find other people who would be more successful in a different goal. I mean, I think that there are some comics that I mean, really love. The creators don't make a living off of it, but they are really successful in telling their stories. And that's a different success, and I think that is just as valid as I've made $5 million, you know? that doing a good job is also success. And I think saying that you should listen to me because I'm successful is an essentially dumb idea. You should listen to someone if they have done something that you want to do or if they have good advice.
Right. We had Howard Taylor on the show at PenguinCon, and he said basically the whole debate whether or not there is or is not a formula for success in webcomics. He says that there is a formula, but nobody knows it. And, you know, it's all about, I guess, backwards engineering, finding the reason. And on a recent show, I stated that it's a combination of skill, exposure, frequency, like update frequency, and also luck. And I would actually like to change that. I'm going to change skill to content, because there are things out there that I would argue very, very little skill. Are
Garfield minus Garfield
are very successful. No, like fucking Cyanide and Happiness, which I absolutely hate, and apparently they make money. And I'm saying that. I mean, into any grade school, you'll find those exact jokes and such. And it's like that's not. But it's content that people want to see.
Yes, I mean, here's the thing: you are creating something for an audience, and. Maybe your audience is into particularly juvenile jokes. There is a site called collegehumor.com, which is a site dedicated to incredibly juvenile college jokes.
But there's a lot more effort behind College Humor
is a lot of effort put into that, but the jokes are particularly juvenile, and that's the point. And Cyanide and Happiness, you could say, the point of Cyanide and Happiness is playground humor. And it's shooting even lower than College Humor. And that's the point. Garfield minus Garfield has a point that it's trying to make, and it executes that point well, even if you're saying all that he's doing is erasing something from a comic. I think you can admire all of those, even if you don't like the particular comic. And I don't like Cyanide and Happiness, but I appreciate what the person is trying to do.
I'm making a tweet saying...
No problem.
Saying that I wanted to make sure that anyone who's following me and not Frump knows that the old comic press will still be supported.
Yep. The old comic press is still being supported, but that is a surprising announcement, I've got to say.
There. Just to make sure, I don't want to be unfair. I really don't.
Yeah. So. Yeah, and I'm sure, and I can understand why it was done, but it is surprising. Yeah. But yet again, when it comes to business advice at this point, the iPad sold. So I'm at this point officially advocating my knowledge of the public in general and what they will pay for, because that just blew my mind.
True, so, but that is, it is to people with, I would say, expendable or frivolous income.
Yeah, but it's like a laptop, but can't do as much and costs more. That's your selling point.
There are people that just, they're addicted to new tech. They just have to be.
Yeah.
This isn't comparable into new tech. Like I said, webcomic Inkblot, Mike was saying that basically it from what has only been released so far, because he says that the site isn't fully listing everything, is that basically it's a pay version of webcomic and Inkblot, because he's saying that his free to use theme and plugin already can do everything that it says that it can do.
We will see. I think that this is something we'll have to see what's happening. But, this is something that I've been very interested, because there is this sort of commercialization of the webcomic field. There does seem to be this sort of push to creating a professional track.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see, if you want to be a professional, you have to come in here and you have to join webcomics.com, and that costs money. And you have to buy ink, you have to buy Comic Press 3.0, and that costs money, and all this sort of thing. And this is the sales line that's being given to new people in the webcomic field. People who are creating a webcomic today will go out and they will say, how do I become a professional? Mm-hmm. And now there are these sites that say, pay us this for the advice, pay us this for the professional design, pay us this for,
it's like selling books. How to get rich. Buy my book and I'll tell you all the secrets of this and that. It is basically...
What happened was, if you remember back in the day, it used to be hosting was really expensive.
Right.
So if you wanted a webcomic, you had to become part of Comic Genesis or Keenspot. That was the only way you could afford it, because hosting was so expensive. And so if you had a comic, you had to go to these publishers. They published you, and then you got... And they got some of the money from your comic. There was a professional track. Since then, hosting has become very cheap. And so the hosting model has imploded. There is no more hosting model. No one even gives Comic Genesis or Drunk Duck any concern anymore.
Oh, what do you mean concern?
Well, no one takes them seriously.
Oh, I have respect for not Platinum that currently owns Drunk Duck, but I do have a lot of respect for DrunkDuck.com. It has a very, very strong community there, and what they do for webcomics I think is still very, very good, especially for hobbyists. Because it is easy as just signing up to instantly have a site. It's a little hard to design it. But you can at least start going and connect with people and make comments. And that's one thing that really does well, which WordPress and Gravatar and all that other thing, people can leave comments without actually signing up for that individual site.
Yeah.
That is the key thing in communication. Communication is very key.
Yeah. But what you just said there about how simple and easy and how, you can't do professional designs and you can't have a professional URL, that's the point.
Right.
Drunk Duck used to be a place where, here's where the professional big boy comics are, and now it's, the place where people who don't know anything go to start out and just sort of play around and test their ideas.
Right. It's also a very good mirror site, I found out.
Yeah, that's the point. There's no comic on Drunk Duck that I can't either get on someone's own professional site or that is of any quality. If it's on Drunk Duck, it's either being mirrored from a real site or it's something that someone is just starting off and really doesn't have a lot of know-how. And once they've gotten to really know what they're doing, they're going to leave Drunk Duck.
I don't know. I read a lot of webcomics that are on Drunk Duck that aren't leaving anywhere. Mostly because they don't need to, because it's kind of like a click at this point. I would say it's the ones that are very comfortable with doing something for fun. You know, they don't really need to go anywhere else. All of their readership is right there, and that's good enough for them. You know, and that's absolutely fine. If you do want to expand a bit and maybe have a little bit more robust site with more options, like and all this stuff, you know, it's not going to take that much to go somewhere else to do something. Yeah. You know. But you know, but that's why I defend Drunk Duck, because you know, because I've seen the community on there. It's very, very strong.
Yeah, but the point I was making is that Drunk Duck is no longer the place for professionals.
Right.
And neither is Comic Genesis, and none of these hosting sites are any longer a place for professionals. Mm-hmm. Professionals have now gone off and made their own site, and the only way professionals hook up to each other is now through
collective,
like Project Wonderful Advertising or cross-linking or something along that line.
Yeah, there's collectives and such. I would still argue that Blank Label might still... Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a few, like I guess some of the tried and true ones, the ones that have been around forever. If you try to make a new sort of thing, it would have to be like a bunch of friends got together and made their own collective or a particular collective that got together for a certain theme. Like I think some sci-fi webcomics just got together and basically there's like 7 different comics and each one updates a different day of the week, so it's kind of like an online anthology comic.
Yeah, but I mean that's the thing. The I mean, going back, I'll take Keenspot for an example. Keenspot, the way it used to work is it had some very popular comics as an anchor to sort of bring interest to the other comics on the site. And the reason it could do that was because people had to be there out of the hosting requirement. So you had these anchor comics that then brought along other comics as part of the site, and now that model has fallen apart, and so there is this sort of attempt to recreate the professional model with different services, saying, well, if you want to be a professional, you have to come here for these various services. And I've seen a couple of sites attempting to do a new type of professional model, offering a different service. You know, more hands-on sort of work, and I think this, the comic press idea is that okay, here we're going to go, and we're going to give you a pre-designed site that's going to look professional if you pay us, because what people want to do is get the money from the professional comics.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an attempt to rebuild this in a different sort of format. And I mean, there's all. Have you ever seen Dark Brain Comics?
I don't think I have.
It's sort of a collection site as well. And this is a site that has a lot of Flash, a lot of animation. They're trying different things, and yet again, they're trying to go out there and get the professionals to come into them and submit comics so that they can resell them. And yet again, it's this attempt to reconstruct a professional model, because right now the professional model's fallen apart. And this idea of having some place to go, I want to be a professional, therefore I have to be a member of Keenspace, a member of Keenspot. That was something very attractive, and that was something that people were very interested in. And now that that's collapsed, there is a demand for this, you know, I want to be a professional, where do I go? Right. And there is this attempt to recreate it. And now the model is, you want to be a professional, pay us money for our good advice and our professional design and that sort of thing.
Right. Well, professional design, I would still argue that.
Yeah, well,
yeah, that's
what they're offering.
Yeah.
You know, you can argue whether it is or isn't, but the idea is, you want to be a professional now. Well, it's not hosting that we're offering. Now we're offering a new service for you to be a professional. Just like Keenspot offered hosting. Now, well, hosting is cheap, so now we're offering design and advice.
Well, for a semi-professional or somebody that's still kind of making the switch from newcomer or from hobbyist to semi-professional, you may still need a leg up yet. And I wouldn't discount any sort of hosting sites, say, such as RampageNetwork.com, which the Webcomic Beacon is very gratefully hosted on. No,
way
honestly.
To work in the Rampage Network. That was really well done. I applaud that.
You know, it's just most basic can be like about $10 a month to even $40 or $60 a year, depending on where you go and if you have a URL factored in there. You know, I mean, it can still be maybe more than what you're willing to put up for right now.
Yeah.
And then even still, collectives are somewhat still important. And you gotta look at it individually, whether or not being a part of a collective or hosting site or community, if it's beneficial to you as well. I mean, not just what you can do for it, but what it can do for you and vice versa, all of that. I do believe in being able to help others, especially if you're all in the same boat. And when you become more of a professional, more of a full-time professional, I'll say, that gets less and less. You're unable to do that as often because you get more busy with your own work, and you are able to be on your own site and your own things like that. Certainly, I mean, it's a big growing experience, and some people, you know, maybe they do like where they're at. You know, it's much more individualized and doesn't have to submit to say a syndicate like in the print world, you know. Mm. Which
it's yet again, what is your goal? And deciding what your goal is when you start out with it. You went through this. I mean, there's Drunk Duck, which doesn't have any goals to entry, and you can put up anything you want, and it's a great place to experiment. And if your goal is to experiment and just have some fun making a comic and really don't care about much else, Drunk Duck is great because it's a free community, it's a free hosting, doesn't cost you anything, you just have to post. And you have this spectrum going up now of different goals of where you want to be. And different things that you can get out of a network or not. And really where you choose to target yourself is what your goal is in this whole thing. Although I think if someone tells you you're going to follow this advice and you will become a professional, they're selling you a bill of goods. Because so much of it, like you said, what was your formula again?
My formula is essentially a set of four, but it might be five. Mm-hmm. But essentially, content, mm-hmm. Exposure, mm-hmm. frequency, and luck. And I might say that there's an unknown X factor in there that you'll never know, or is different for everybody.
I think there's one factor that you didn't put in there that is so important, which is stubbornness.
Stubbornness.
The unwillingness to give up, even though anyone in their right mind would have quit at that point.
I don't know. I think some people should quit.
there are some people who should quit, but
when to quit or move on or change.
Yeah, but so much of success is just constantly doing it, even though you're exhausted and you don't want to do it anymore.
That's included. That's under frequency.
Yeah, okay, there's a difference. Frequency is how often you're updating.
No, it's vague on purpose. It's vague on purpose. Like, content and exposure are also vague. Because exposure also counts advertising as well as who you know.
I think there's a division there, because the most successful people in webcomics, and I'm counting you in this field, are the people who just keep on doing something, even though it's hard and unpleasant, and they could do other things at that time.
I would say determination, then, not stubbornness.
Determination. Yeah. Well. Okay. Let's a less offensive term. Determination. just going on, no matter what has been happening, is so important. And I think, yeah, that's the key to success. And I think at that point, if you follow that formula, then you're done. And just, I mean, you can't control luck, but all the other ones are factors you can control.
Right.
To an extent.
Mm-hmm. To an extent, yeah.
Well, in any case, this is a really good discussion. Just because, this it wasn't originally intended to be an episode of the Webcomic Beacon, but ultimately became one, which means I'm going to be going over the who's currently advertising on our website right now, webcomicbeacon.com, through our Project Wonderful ads. Qualian, the teenager from hell at QualianOnline.com, is gratefully is advertising on our main two advertising spots, and the tower is some Viz Media comic from iTunes. And I don't mention those because we just mentioned webcomics that are advertising. So thank you for that advertising, and check them out because they are advertising on us. And if you'd like to know more, go to webcomicbeacon.com/advertise for additional information. If you go to webcomicbeacon.com/calendar, you'll be able to see what's coming up over the horizon on June 20th at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time. We'll be talking about time travel as a subject for your comic. How do you keep things straight? What other different types of time travel are there? Are there skewed timelines? Does time overwrite? There's lots of things to consider. Is it wibbly wobbly? Who knows? Come and we'll be taking your calls. We're talking about time travel as a subject for your comic. And on the 27th, we'll be having Erica Moen of the webcomic Dar. And for more information, just check out our calendar for upcoming episodes and their times. If you have any questions, email webcomicbeacon@gmail.com. Or if you'd like to leave a voicemail, send us an audio file. Or you can dial 1-320-310-0922. That is all for, I guess, this episode of the Webcomic Beacon. I'm Fess of PSIWebcomic.com.
I'm Eric of Extern.com, as well as a number of other comics you can find off of that site, EXIERN.com.
Thanks to everyone who came for this show. And once again, there are many ways to publish your comic online, and it's up to you to figure out what works best for you. And check them out. And then that's it. But this has been Webcomic Beacon at WebcomicBeacon.com.
That's all for now. Tune in next time at WebcomicBeacon.com.
We're going to redo the beginning.
Okay.
So make it like it was somewhat planned.
Okay.